This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. All praise and thanks belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon His servant and final messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As to what follows, my dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And as we are only hours away from the holy month of Ramadan, it is very important that we refresh our knowledge in order to prepare our souls and our hearts and our minds and our bodies for this blessed and holy month of Ramadan. So what I wanted to do, inshallah ta'ala, is share with you a couple of important matters that we're supposed to recognize and acknowledge from now and pay attention to from now and all the way throughout the month of Ramadan. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, they will help us in making the most of this blessed month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, I wanted to start by sharing with you a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is a hadith that was narrated by Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu. So Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu, he says, أَنَّ رَجُلَيْنِ مِنْ بَلِيٍّ قَدِمَا عَلَى رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ وَكَانَ إِسْلَامُهُمَا جَمِيعًا. Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu, he says in this narration that there were two men from the town of Bali. Bali is a town that was close to Al-Madinah. And these two men were Jews. They approached Al-Madinah and they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they embraced Islam. They accepted Islam together at the same time. So one of them had more efforts in Islam. He was more steadfast to the point that he joined one of the battles of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he was martyred as a shaheed fi sabilillah. And the other one, he lived 1 year longer than the shaheed and he died on his deathbed, a normal, natural death. So Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu, later on, he saw in his dream that three of them, the two men that have now passed away, that were Jews and embraced Islam, one died as a martyr, the other died natural death after 1 year on his deathbed. And Talha saw himself, three of them, he saw them, that they are standing all at the doors of the paradise. So Talha ibn Ubaidillah radiyallahu anhu, he says, someone came out from the paradise and he called the one who died 1 year later, the one who died a natural death. He called him to enter the paradise and he entered the paradise. Strange. Then this angel came back out and called a shaheed second to enter the paradise. And then this angel came out and he said to Talha ibn Ubaidillah, go back, your time hasn't come. So Talha radiyallahu anhu, he woke up from his dream, from his sleep, and he was surprised and amazed at what he saw. How can the one who died a natural death enter the paradise before the shaheed, before the martyr? So Talha radiyallahu anhu went around in Al-Madinah and he began to tell the companions and inform them about the dream he saw. And everyone was surprised and amazed. So they went to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they narrated the dream to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And they said, Ya Rasulullah, how can this be? That the one who died a natural death on his bed, he entered the paradise first. And then the shaheed entered the paradise second? How does this make sense? We know that the shaheed has great virtue and merit and reward in Islam. And we expect him to enter the paradise first. So how can someone that just died naturally on his bed enter the paradise before a shaheed? And this is, of course, it's a big deal. And you probably would say that, you know, both of them eventually ended up in the paradise. What's the big deal? There's always something special about being first. You know, today, there's always something about being the first one to buy the new iPhone or to buy the latest shoe or to buy whatever it is that is new. There's an excitement and the news media, they would interview the person who first bought something that was released. So it's a big deal to be the first to enter the paradise. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, when he heard this dream, he said to them, من أي ذلك تعجبون? What are you amazed by, people? What are you amazed by? So they said, Ya رسول الله, we are amazed by the fact that the one who died naturally entered the paradise before the one who died as a martyr. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said to them, أليس قد مكث هذا بعده سنة? النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم told them, didn't the one who died naturally live 1 year after the shaheed? Didn't he live 1 more year after the shaheed? They said yes. فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, وأدرك رمضان فصام وصلى كذا وكذا من سجدة في السنة. And didn't, because he lived 1 year extra, didn't he pray this many and this many rak'at? And didn't he fast Ramadan? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling us, didn't he have 1 more Ramadan extra than the shaheed? And he prayed so many rak'at and so many prayers more than a shaheed? They said, yes, ya Rasulullah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, فما بينهما أبعد مما بين السماء والأرض. الله أكبر. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said that the difference between them, both of them in the paradise, is the difference between the heavens and the earth. الله أكبر. And so my brothers and sisters in Islam, what we learn from this hadith is that Ramadan is a golden opportunity to be elevated ranks and ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person that died naturally on his bed entered the paradise and gained a higher rank than a shaheed fi sabilillah because he lived to witness 1 Ramadan extra and he prayed many rak'at extra than the one who died as a shaheed, the one who died 1 year earlier than him. Allahu Akbar. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, there is no one better in the sight of Allah than a believer who lives a long life full of tasbih and takbir and tahleel and tahmeed to Allah. No one is better than a believer who lives a long life of righteousness, a long life of worship. And so Ramadan is a golden opportunity that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, bi-idhnillah, we ask him that he allows us to live to witness this Ramadan, a golden opportunity to earn for yourself a high rank and a station with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a blessing, my brothers and sisters in Islam, to witness yet another Ramadan. We need to first recognize and acknowledge. We need to acknowledge this. And we need to know that Allah Azza wa Jal, he reprimands and he warns those that are ungrateful to his blessings. Ramadan is a blessing. If you are ungrateful to this blessing, Allah Azza wa Jal warns such people. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَمَنْ يُبَدِّلْ نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا جَاءَتْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. That whoever, Allah says, Allah warns, whoever exchanges the favor of Allah Azza wa Jal, he exchanges it after it has come to him, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment is severe. Allahu Akbar. So Allah Azza wa Jal is telling us in this ayah that the one who exchanges the favor of Allah, instead of being grateful to it, he makes it a reason for his ingratitude. He neglects it. He abandons it. Allah warns such people of his punishment. And there is no doubt that Ramadan is an opportunity for all of us. And it is one of the greatest blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single year gives us. Ramadan is such a huge blessing that even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself would express his excitement at its arrival. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, he narrates and he says, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يبشر أصحابه. الله أكبر. Abu Hurairah, he says that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he used to congratulate his companions on the arrival of Ramadan. He used to congratulate them. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he said this hadith is a foundation and a proof for why it is permissible for us to congratulate each other on the occasion of Ramadan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to give the sahaba good news and he used to congratulate them on the arrival of Ramadan. He would say to them, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. He said to them that the month of Ramadan has come, it has finally arrived. Now the sahaba, they all know that it's coming. Everyone knows that in a few days Ramadan would come. So why is the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling them something obvious?
This implies that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam himself was happy and was excited and full of joy to share this news with them and to remind them of Ramadan. He would say to them, قَدْ جَاءَكُمْ شَهْرُ رَمَضَانِ. Ramadan has arrived. شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ. He began to describe this month so that he can excite his companions and get them ready, so that the whole soul and the heart and the mind could get ready for this blessed month. He would give them important information about this month. He said, شَهْرٌ مُبَارَكٌ. It is a blessed month. What does that mean? A blessed month, meaning it is a month in which the good deeds, they increase. Because the blessing is something to increase. So you will naturally find in yourself that you will increase in your good deeds in this month as opposed to any other month. Shahrun Mubarak. And the Shahrun Mubarak could also mean that it's a dua from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, as though he's saying, oh Allah, make it a blessed month for us. And then he says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمْ كَتَبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمْ صِيَامَهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal has ordained and made obligatory that you fast this month. فِيهِ تُفْتَحُ أَبْوَابُ الْجِنَانِ. In this month, during this month, the doors, all the 8 doors of the paradise are open. Allahu Akbar. As though Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, I want you, I want to grant you my paradise. I want to admit you all into my paradise and into my mercy and in my forgiveness. Every barrier between us and Allah Azza wa Jal is open. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to accept his servants in this month. There is no connect. It's as though there is no barrier between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The connection has been made between the people on earth and in the and what is in the heavens and in the paradise. The connection is open. فِيهِ تُفْتَحُ أَبْوَابُ الْجِنَانِ وَتُغَلَّقُ فِيهِ أَبْوَابُ الْجَحِيمِ. And during this month, the doors of the hellfire are locked, are closed, as though Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, I don't want to punish you. Oh, my servants, I do not want to punish you. I do not want to admit you and put you in my fire. This is for the disbelievers, this is for the arrogant, this is for people that do not appreciate my blessings and favors upon them. تُغَلَّقُ أَبْوَابُ الْجَحِيمِ وَفِيهِ تُغَلُّ فِيهِ الشَّيَاطِينِ. And during this month, the devils are chained, they are locked up. Yani the effect of the shaitan is going to be weak upon us. And you know, الشياطين are 2 types. There are external devils and there are internal devils. The external devils are those that are roaming around, those that are free and roaming around this world. These are the devils that are chained up. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, وَسُلْسِلَةِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That literally the shayateen are chained and they are locked up. As for the internal shaytan, which is al-qareen, that is inside of us, he's still around. He remains inside of us. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, that إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لَيَجْرِي مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَ الدَّمِ. That the shaytan, the qareen, the shaytan inside of us, he flows in our body just like blood flows in our body. However, the internal shaytan al-qareen, his effect is going to be dramatically reduced. And his waswas and evil whispering is going to be dramatically reduced during Ramadan. And this makes a lot of sense. Why? Because when someone is fasting during the day, when someone is fasting, the only thing he desires and thinks about is food and drink. Because he's given that up, he's getting hungry, he's getting thirsty. You're thinking about food and drink. In other words, you're thinking about something permissible. As opposed to someone who's not fasting, a person who's not fasting and has eaten and drinken and is satisfied and his stomach is full, what does he think about? What does he begin to desire? He begins to desire about sins and haram. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. إذن Ramadan, as you are fasting, you're only thinking about food and drink, which is something halal. This is why a shaytan's effect has dramatically been reduced during Ramadan. Allahu Akbar. تُغَلُّ فِيهِ الشَّيَاطِينَ. That they are severely chained and locked up. فَاللَّهُ أَكْبَرُ. Allah Azza wa Jal doesn't want us to be distracted. He removed the biggest distraction in our life, which is الشياطين. The devil is the biggest distraction in our life. Allah Azza wa Jal removes him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فِيهِ لَيْلَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ. And during this month, there is one night that is better than 1,000 months of worship. This is Laylatul Qadr. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, warning us about the one who neglects this month, warning us about the one who becomes lazy during this month and ignores the blessing of this month. He says, "Man hurima khayraha faqad hurim," that the one who is deprived of the goodness of Laylatul Qadr, what's the goodness of Laylatul Qadr? Being forgiven from your sins. Whoever is deprived of this great reward, he has been deprived of all forms of goodness. He's been deprived of Allah's mercy, of Allah's forgiveness, and many other things. Allahu Akbar, my brothers and sisters in Islam. In this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it is apparent to see the excitement and the joy and the happiness of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the arrival of the blessed month of Ramadan. And you can also see the excitement of a Sahaba radiallahu anhum for this blessed month of Ramadan. But at the end of this hadith, it's a little bit scary. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is warning us, as good as this month is, as much as Allah azza wa jal wants to forgive and admit people into the paradise, if you neglect this month and abandon it and don't realize its importance and its significance and its virtue and its merit, then you're upon a dangerous path. Why do I say so? Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, once he was ascending the minbar, and as he was going up this minbar, he began to say, "Ameen, Ameen, Ameen," three times. As-Sahaba radiallahu anhum, first time they ever see this. So when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished the khutbah and came down, he said to them, they said to him, "Ya Rasulullah, we heard you saying Ameen three times. Why did you say Ameen? Ameen is supposed to be said after a dua. We didn't hear any dua being made. Why did you say Ameen?" فالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said to the companions, "أتاني جبريل." Jibreel came to me and he said to me, "يا محمد من أدرك رمضان فلم يغفر له فأبعده الله." And in another narration, "رغم أنف امرئ دخل عليه رمضان لم يغفر له." Jibreel came and made a dua and he said, "Oh Allah, may the one who enters Ramadan and comes out of Ramadan, having not been forgiven for his sins, may he be humiliated, may he be shamed, may he be disgraced." Who made this dua? An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi, Jibreel made it. And then An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ameen." Yani Jibreel made the dua by command from Allah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, "Ameen." What a curse! The one who enters Ramadan and comes out, having not been forgiven for his sins, which is the greatest gift of Ramadan, or one of the greatest gifts of Ramadan, such a person has been cursed by Allah, by Jibreel, and by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, it's important to prepare for this month in order to avoid being disgraced. In order to be successful, we need to make the most of it and to earn the great gifts that Allah Azza wa Jal has made for this month. And the great gifts of this month are forgiveness, the mercy of Allah, being freed from the fire, elevated ranks with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All these are gifts of this month. We need to collect all these gifts. And just like with anything in life, in order to be successful, you must prepare. We must prepare. You see, look, in life, if you have an exam, you must prepare beforehand. If you don't prepare for your exam, you fail the exam. And as you're writing the exam, you know you're going to fail, right? And the one who doesn't prepare for Ramadan, comes in Ramadan, during Ramadan, he will know, he'll have a feeling that he's failing. We must prepare for Ramadan, just like you prepare for exams in this worldly life. Whenever you have a meeting, let's say you had a meeting, you prepare beforehand, an agenda, what is going to be discussed in this meeting, and so on. Otherwise, if everyone comes to the meeting without any preparation, everyone's going to waste time and gain no benefit whatsoever. Before a job interview, what happens? You must prepare. People sleep early, get up early, dress the best you can, your papers are ready, your documents are ready, and then you go to your job interview, and you'll feel like you will gain success after that, right? In everything in life, we prepare. And subhanAllah, even in matters of worship, we're supposed to prepare. So before we pray, we're supposed to make wudu, go to al-masjid, repeat after the muadhin, pray as-sunnah, and then we pray the fard. All of this is preparation for al-fard. You know, subhanAllah, contrary to the one who doesn't prepare for as-salat, and just comes right in, Allahu Akbar. How is he going to develop khushu' in his salat? This is why we complain. We don't have khushu' in our salat because we do not prepare for our salat. Look at al-hajj. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he tells us, watazawwadu, pack your bags, pack it. Get prepared before you go to Hajj. And the best thing you can prepare with, Allah says, فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. But the idea is that Allah commands us in the Quran, prepare before you go to Hajj. Every single worship, there's preparation for it. You know? And Ramadan is not different. Even look at the case of when Jibreel came to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, cut his chest open, took out his heart, washed it, put it back in. This was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being prepared for the journey of al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj. He was being prepared for the journey of al-Isra' wal-Mi'raj. This is all preparation. Our problem today is we don't want to prepare for our worship. We prepare, subhanAllah, we prepare for everything in this worldly life except for our worship. And then we complain. Why can't we connect with our worship? Why can't we feel the sweetness and the taste and the beauty of our worship? Because we're not preparing. SubhanAllah, look at the one who prays the fard straight away, doesn't experience any khushu'. And this is what we want to do. We want to pray the fard and finish straight away. We want to fast Ramadan and get it over and done with straight away. This is a negative attitude. This is a bad approach to Ramadan. SubhanAllah, even today, what do we find? We find people, they want to give da'wah without learning, without preparation. A da'wah requires preparation. You need to seek knowledge. You need to seek knowledge and learn your deen for years. لَبِثْتَ سِنِينَ فِي أَهْلِ مَدْيَنَ. Need to learn. And then you go and you preach and you teach and you give da'wah. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described Isa alayhi salam, what did he say about him? وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَالتَّوْرَاةَ وَالْإِنْجِيلِ Then وَرَسُولًا إِلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ. Allah Azza wa Jal described Isa alayhi salam, he teaches him the book. He teaches him wisdom. He taught him at-Tawrah, al-Injil. Next, he became a Rasul. He became a person of da'wah. And he began to preach and teach the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So everything in life requires preparation. A da'wah requires preparation. Your prayer requires preparation to get the maximum benefit of a salat. Hajj requires preparation. And Ramadan is no different. Ramadan requires preparation. Allahu Akbar. And it requires our full attention. Our full attention. Because this is the only thing that is before us right now, Ramadan and nothing else. So how do we prepare for this blessed month? Let me share with you a couple of points. Number one, the first and most important way we prepare for this month, and this could be done in a matter of moments. This is why I'm sharing them with you now, because we're speaking about final preparations before Ramadan. Final preparations. The first of them is repentance and seeking forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Seeking Allah azza wa jal's forgiveness from your sins and shortcomings. Ask Allah azza wa jal to forgive you for all those past sins, the minor and the major, the intentional and the accidental sins and mistakes, the shortcomings that have occurred in your worships. Ask Allah azza wa jal that he forgive you. Ask him to forgive the sickness and the illness and the diseases of the heart from arrogance and hypocrisy and whatever it is. Turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now with humility, hoping for his mercy and fearing his punishment. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the most successful people in Ramadan are those who enter Ramadan having repented from all their sins, having felt regret and remorse for their sins and said, Astaghfirullah. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the greatest word that is going to come out of your mouth just before Ramadan is Astaghfirullah. It comes out from your tongue with a sincere heart. Wallahi, this one word is powerful enough to destroy a history of sins, to destroy an entire decades and decades of your sins that you have done in the past. Seek Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness in abundance as we enter this blessed month. Seek Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness day and night. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to seek Allah's forgiveness more than 100 times a day. And Allah Azza wa Jal loves those who seek his forgiveness. And if Allah Azza wa Jal loves them, that means he will forgive them. And he will allow them to enter into the doors of his mercy that are going to open up in a couple of hours when we begin this month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallah, we need to realize and recognize that the biggest barrier and obstacle between us and the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal are our sins. If our sins are removed, we're going to have the best and most healthiest connection and relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the way you remove these sins is bil istighfar, by seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, he says that it is a must that every breath the slave of Allah takes, you take in a breath and a breath comes out. With every breath, there needs to be two things that you do. One breath in where you praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you say alhamdulillah. And the other breath should be a breath in where you seek the forgiveness of Allah from your sins. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ إِظَّلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ثُمَّ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ لَوَجَدُوا اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا. Allahu Akbar. Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, and if they were to wrong themselves, if they were to commit sins and transgression and wrong themselves, and then they came to you, O Messenger of Allah, ثُمَّ جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا اللَّهَ, and they sought forgiveness from Allah, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ, and the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sought forgiveness for them, لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ تَوَّابًا رَحِيمًا, they would have found Allah that is ready to accept their repentance and to be the most merciful towards them. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ, you will find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when you seek forgiveness and repent to Him. You will find Allah in your life. لَوَجَدُ اللَّهَ, and things will open up in your life. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, this is the first point and the first thing that we prepare for Ramadan through seeking Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness and making repentance from all that which has passed. The second way of preparing for Ramadan, and listen carefully to what I'm going to say, and I'm going to prove it for you so that you're not confused at the end of it. The second method is to reconcile with your Muslim brothers and sisters that you have boycotted or hated or cut ties with. You must reconcile. And I'm mentioning this because reconciling with them, it can be in a matter of seconds, a matter of minutes. All it takes is for you to destroy this shaytan inside of you and run to that which Allah Azza wa Jal is pleased with, and that is to mend the ties between your brothers and sisters, especially if they were relatives. Why am I saying so? Because Muslims that boycott each other, Muslims that hate each other, and they cut ties with each other, they are deprived from Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness. Allahu Akbar. You know what this means? One of the greatest gifts in Ramadan is to be forgiven of your sins. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever fasts Ramadan out of iman and seeking Allah's forgiveness, and seeking Allah's reward, Allah forgives them. Whoever prays the nights of Ramadan out of iman, seeking the reward from Allah, Allah forgives him for his past sins. Whoever stands Laylatul Qadr in worship out of iman and seeking Allah's reward, Allah will forgive him for his past sins. What does this mean? This means the entire purpose of this month of Ramadan, the main gift of Ramadan, is Allah's forgiveness. And I'm saying to you that Muslims that boycott each other and have cut ties with each other are deprived from Allah's forgiveness. So they come into Ramadan and leave Ramadan having missed out on one of the greatest gifts of Ramadan, which is forgiveness. And what proves that they are deprived of forgiveness, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that every Monday and Thursday, tuftahu abwabul jannah, the doors of the paradise are open. And Allah Azza wa Jal forgives everyone, except a disbeliever and two people that hate each other, that have boycotted each other, that baynahuma shahna, they are charged with anger and animosity and hatred towards each other. Allah would say to the angels, anziru hathayni hatta yastaliha, anziru hathayni hatta yastaliha. Twice Allah says it. Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَنْظِرُوا هَذَيْن. What does that mean? It means delay these two. Delay them. We're not going to accept their deeds. And we will not forgive them until يَصْطَلِحَ until they reconcile and reform and mend the relationship between them. Allahu Akbar. So how can you possibly live during these 30 days of Ramadan knowing that you have boycotted a Muslim or hated a Muslim and cut ties with a Muslim, especially if it's a relative? How can you live the days of Ramadan knowing that the one who does that is deprived of forgiveness? And then you know that the greatest and one of the greatest gifts of Ramadan is forgiveness. But what are you going to benefit now when you live these days of Ramadan? What are you going to benefit, my brother and sister in Islam, when you hold this hatred against someone or you've boycotted a relative of yours? Cut this out. Prepare for Ramadan. Prepare for Ramadan by seeking Allah's forgiveness and then by reconciling with your Muslim brothers and sisters, especially if they are your relatives. And you can forgive in less than a minute. Call this relative and reconcile with them. Call this brother, call this sister, reconcile with them. Make a dua for them. Allah Azza wa Jal teaches us in the Quran that we're supposed to be making a dua. وَالَّذِينَ جَاءُوا مِن بَعْدِهِمْ يَقُولُونَ رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا وَلِإِخْوَانِنَا الَّذِينَ سَبَقُونَا بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَا تَجْعَلْ فِي قُلُوبِنَا غِلًّا لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah, this is a dua from the Quran. Allah is teaching us that Muslims are supposed to be making dua for each other, not boycotting and cutting off each other. This dua is from the Quran. Allah teaches us how to make dua for each other. We're supposed to say, oh Allah, forgive us and forgive our brothers that came before us and have passed now. And do not make in our hearts ghillan lilladhina amanu. Do not put in our hearts hatred and envy and jealousy and animosity in our hearts towards those who have believed. رَبَّنَا إِنَّكَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allahu Akbar. We should be making this dua every day in our salat. When was the last time you made this dua? And the dua of the Quran, it's not only Allah teaching us how to put words together and make dua. He's teaching us how our lifestyle and our attitude should be towards our Muslim brothers and sisters. لا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا. No ghill is supposed to exist in your heart towards another brother or sister. And ghill is hatred. And the fact that you boycott a brother or a sister and you cut ties with them. Allahu Akbar. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, he said, when he was asked, how did you companions, how would you welcome Ramadan? He would say, we used to welcome Ramadan and none of us would dare, listen to what he's saying, none of us would dare to hold an atom's weight of hatred or enmity or jealousy in our hearts towards another Muslim brother or sister. My brothers and sisters in Islam, it is impermissible to boycott a believer for more than 3 days, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا يحل لمسلم أن يهجر أخاه فوق ثلاث. It is impermissible to boycott and to cut ties with a Muslim brother or a sister for more than 3 days, especially if it's a family relative. You know why? Because, yani what am I going to say? When you boycott someone or you cut ties with someone, most likely it's because of a worldly matter. Most likely it's because of something materialistic. You wanted to marry a lady, so then this Muslim brother went and married her. So now you boycotted him and you got angry with him. A worldly matter, marrying someone. Or he took my car, he stole my wealth, it's probably a business agreement, it's probably over a house, probably over a job. You wanted a job, your brother came and took the job, and eventually we boycott each other and we cut ties with each other because of materialistic matters, because of matters of this worldly life. And Allah Azza wa Jal has made it forbidden upon us that we prefer worldly life matters over the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is that when we love each other, we are loving each other for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal. It is not allowed to make this pathetic worldly life a reason for why you hate your Muslim brother or sister, which is something that Allah Azza wa Jal is displeased with. It is not permissible to make this pathetic worldly life a reason to destroy the greatest bond Allah Azza wa Jal made, and that is the bond of brotherhood. Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً. Muslims are brothers and sisters of each other. And you're going to break the greatest bond Allah made. because of something worldly, then it is not allowed. So my brothers and sisters in Islam, if you have wronged or oppressed someone or have hated someone, go to him. Destroy the shaitan that's within you. Go do it pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Go to your brother and sister in Islam today, now. Say to him, my brother, between you and I is la ilaha illallah. Between you and I is the bond of Iman and Islam. And I have wronged you in the past and I seek your forgiveness. And if you have wronged me in any way, I have forgiven you for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, and I'm doing this in preparation of Ramadan so that I may earn Allah Azza wa Jal's forgiveness during this month. My brother, I want to end this dispute and hatred between you and I. Say that and then resolve your issue. If it's money that you owe him, give it back to him. If it's something of this worldly life you owe him, do it. Give back the rights, fulfill them. Do what is required and necessary in this case. Clear your accounts with everyone before the month of Ramadan. Return what you owe to the people and seek their forgiveness if you have wronged them in any way. And this is, I took time in this because it is one of the most important ways of preparing for the forgiveness of Allah Azza wa Jal in this blessed month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, wallah, the most successful people with Allah are those who will meet Allah Azza wa Jal on the Day of Judgment, and they don't have anything in their heart against any Muslim brother or sister. They are free from the people's rights. They owe no one anything. They have no grudge or hatred or any jealousy against anyone whatsoever. These are the most successful people with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the Day of Judgment. They come on the Day of Judgment and their package is light. Their baggage is light. They carry nothing against anyone. Allahu Akbar. It's our aim that we achieve this kind of status now before we enter the month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the third way in how we're going to prepare for this blessed month of Ramadan is through ad-du'a. Wallahi, ad-du'a is so important in preparing for this blessed month. Now you need to use your hours wisely that you have before Ramadan to make du'a to Allah Azza wa Jal. As-salaf, the companions, radiyallahu anhum, they would make du'a to Allah 6 months before Ramadan that Allah allow them to reach Ramadan. This is how they used to use a du'a to prepare for Ramadan, 6 months before. Now we're speaking now hours before Ramadan. May Allah Azza wa Jal forgive us. Whoever, you know, this is very important because whoever has a great concern for something makes plenty of du'a. Yani, when you're sick, how much du'a do you make? When a relative of yours is sick, how much du'a do you make? Don't you even request and beg others to make du'a for you? Please, please, please make du'a for my mother. She's sick. Please make du'a for my children. They're sick. Please make du'a for this and that. They're sick. Please make du'a for me. I'm going through a very difficult, depressed moment now in my life. Please. When we're concerned about something, we make a lot of du'a. So if Ramadan was a great concern for us, we're going to have the same attitude and continuously make du'a non-stop until Allah Azza wa Jal accepts our du'a. Allahu Akbar. And seek the times in where the du'a is accepted. Seek the times in which du'a is accepted. After al-adhan, between al-adhan wal-iqamah, in the last third of the night, and so on. My brothers and sisters in Islam, you need to understand, when you make du'a to Allah Azza wa Jal, asking Him to allow you to reach Ramadan, add to this as well, ask Him that He give you the ability that you worship Him during this month. Say, oh Allah, give me the ability and the strength that I'm able to fast the days of this month and I'm able to pray the nights of this month, and give me the ability and the strength that I catch Laylatul Qadr and remain awake the entire night in obedience and in worship to you subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. You need to realize, you cannot worship Allah on your own. You cannot. You must ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you the strength and ability to worship Him. Otherwise, you cannot worship Allah alone. Allah says, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ. Any good deed you do, فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. It was Allah who gave you permission to do it. And it was Him who gave you the strength and the ability to do it. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says about the believers, when they have entered the paradise, you know what the believers say? They say, وَقَالُوا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ الَّذِي هَدَانَا لِهَذَا وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِيَ لَوْلَا أَنْ هَدَانَ اللَّهِ. They would say, Alhamdulillah, all praise belongs to Allah, that He guided us to this paradise. And then they will say, had it not been for Allah, had it not been for Allah's guidance, we would have never ever been guided to this paradise. وَمَا كُنَّا لِنَهْتَدِي We will have never been guided if it wasn't for Allah's guidance for us. Allahu Akbar. Everything we do of good deeds is because Allah gave us the ability and permission. You know, now, as I'm preaching to you, this is only by Allah's permission. And in Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَدَاعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ Allah described the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and He said, you preach and you teach people Deenul Islam, you teach them the religion of Allah, بِإِذْنِهِ by the permission of Allah. Otherwise, if you relied on yourself, you will not be able to do anything at all. Realize and understand how important a dua is in preparing for Ramadan. You must ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give you the ability and the strength that you worship Him. Look at the houses of Allah. You think the people that enter the masajid enter on their own accord and they pray because they desire to pray and they have the ability on their own to pray? Allah Azza wa Jal, He says in the Quran, فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِينَ اللَّهِ أَن تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ When Allah describes the masajid, He said, أَذِينَ اللَّهِ Allah gave permission that people get the strength and come inside this masjid and begin to remember Allah and pray as salat and do the good deeds that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability to do so. فَمَيْكِ this dua. Look at in Surah Al-Fatiha, the most central ayah in Surah Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ You say, you, Allah, you alone we worship and you alone we seek your help. The first part of the ayah, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ is the purpose of life. The purpose of life is you alone we worship. How are you going to worship Him? The second part of the ayah is the means in how you're going to worship Him. And the means is nasta'een. We're going to achieve worshiping you through our means, and that is seeking your help, nasta'een. And this is why the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would teach his companions that after every salat, make this dua, Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Oh Allah, help me, support me. Give me the ability and the strength and the energy and the power that I remember you and thank you and perfect my worship for you. You're asking Allah to give you the ability to do so. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would ask Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluka fi'la al-khayrat. Oh Allah, I ask you that you give me the ability to do the good. If a Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam could do the good on his own without Allah's help, why didn't he just do the good? Why would he ask Allah? Because even he sallallahu alayhi wasallam recognizes that you can never ever do good unless Allah azza wa jal gives you the ability to do so. Now, so preparing for Ramadan, make dua, especially saying, oh Allah, give me the ability that I worship you. A'inni, the word is a'inni. And one of the greatest dhikr to say and continuously repeat that alludes to Allah Azza wa Jal's help for you is la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Continuously say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, which means la hawl, there is no power, there is no energy, there is no ability whatsoever, la hawl. وَلَا قُوَّةٍ And there's no power, there's no strength, there's no energy, إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ Except through Allah Azza wa Jal. You will get your energy and your strength and your power for the worship through Allah, not through any other means, only through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So carry on saying, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ And بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ You're going to see the effect of this during this blessed month of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the fourth way in how we're going to prepare for this blessed month of Ramadan is by learning about its virtues and its rewards. You know, when you know the virtue and reward of a worship, you are more excited and ready to engage with this worship. And I'll give you an example. If a father was to say to his children, whoever cuts the grass, I give them $1,000. Now what happens? The children are excited and they're ready to cut the grass because they know the reward. When you know the reward of something, you're much more excited and eager to embrace and engage in that thing. So it's very important that we excite ourselves and motivate ourselves for this blessed month of Ramadan by learning something about its virtues and reward. And I just want to share with you a hadith. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters in Islam, the fasting of Ramadan is the most virtuous fasting compared to all the other fastings of the year. And you know, during the year, what do we fast? The 9 days of Dhul Hijjah, 6 days of Shawwal, 3 days of every month, Monday and Thursday, the month of Muharram, the month of Sha'ban. This is all sunnah to fast. But Ramadan is the best fasting compared to all the fasting of the year. Why? Because the fasting of Ramadan is wajib, it's obligatory. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, as in al-hadith al-Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَطُّهُ عَلَيْهِ, that the most beloved thing with which my servant draws nearer to me is what I have made obligatory upon him. The hadith means that, you know, we are all seeking Allah's closeness. Everyone wants to be near and close to Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah is saying, the best thing that you can do that will bring you close and near to me is that you commit yourself to the obligations. And fasting Ramadan is an obligation. Allahu Akbar. So you need to focus and pay attention to this. And the virtue and the merit and the reward of Ramadan, Allahu A'lam, it's unknown. Firstly, through that hadith I shared with you, one of its virtues is that it definitely brings you closer and nearer to Allah Azza wa Jal because you're fulfilling an obligation for 30 days. Another hadith I share with you about the virtue, watch this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, كُلُّ عَمَلِ ابْنِ آدَمَ يُضَاعَفُ. Every single deed that the son of Adam does, its reward is multiplied. الْحَسَنَةُ عَشْرُ أَمْثَالِهَا إِلَى سَبْعِمِئَةِ ضِعْفٍ. For every one good deed, Allah Azza wa Jal multiplies it a minimum of 10 times. Minimum. Any good deed you do, look, this is the generosity of Allah. Any good deed you do, Allah, a minimum, He multiplies it 10 times. And if you do a hasana, He doesn't give you one hasana. Minimum, He'll multiply it 10 times. Allahu Akbar, the generosity of Allah. إلى سبعمائة ضعف. And it could be multiplied up to 700 times, depending on your sincerity and depending on your on your worship itself, how sincere it was, how perfect it was, how much khushu' was in this worship, and so on. قال الله, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِلَّا الصَّوْمُ, except the good deed of fasting. Except fasting. Fasting, it's not multiplied 10 times. It's not multiplied 700 times. You see, all the other good deeds, the minimum they're multiplied 10. The maximum they're multiplied is 700. Sometimes it could be multiplied more than that for whoever Allah Azza wa Jal wills according to the sincerity. Except fasting. Fasting is not multiplied by 10, nor by 100 times, nor by 700. It's not even multiplied by 1,000 times. Allahu A'lam. Illa Sawm. Allahu A'lam. The angels do not record the deed of fasting in your account. They don't know what the good deed for it is. They don't write it. They don't record it. They don't know what it is. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, فَإِنَّهُ لِي, fasting is for me. وَأَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ, and I will give its reward. I will give its reward. This أَنَا أَجْزِي بِهِ implies that the reward is so huge that Allah said, it's upon me. Leave it upon me. And you know, when a king says, and let's say you went to a king and you had a case, you had a need. The king would say, if he said to you, don't worry, we'll look after you. We will look after you and take care of you. Nothing to worry about. What does that mean? Does it mean that the king is going to give you $100 or $200 and you look after yourself? It means the king is going to give you a massive giving that would look after you for your entire life. Imagine the king of all kings. He's saying that the reward of fasting is upon me and I will reward for it. Allahu Akbar. And why? Why is the reward of fasting so huge? Because فَإِنَّهُ لِي, because it's sincerely done for Allah's sake. No one knows about it as opposed to all the other worships. When you pray, people can see you pray. You give zakat and sadaqat, maybe people know about it. You do hajj, people can see you do hajj. Umrah, people can see it. But fasting, no one knows about it. It's only between you and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why it has a great reward. It is pure sincerity. There cannot be any showing off in fasting. It's pure sincerity. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, يَدَعُ شَهْوَتَهُ وَطَعَامَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He gives up his desire and food, meaning he gives up the luxuries and the enjoyments of this life. مِنْ أَجْلِي, for my sake. Allahu Akbar. You need to live with this word during Ramadan. During the days of Ramadan, live with the word of أَجْلِي, for my sake. Feel that you're doing something for the sake of Allah. And you know what this means? It means that a person has preferred the obedience of Allah over the obedience of himself. Your nafs wants to eat and drink. It wants it. And Allah wants you to give that up. So you say to yourself, I'm going to prefer what Allah loves over what I love. Allahu Akbar. And this is why the reward of fasting was such a huge reward that we don't know what it is. And fasting, it means that you've detached yourself from the luxuries and enjoyments of this life. Food, drink, and sexual relations. These are the luxuries and enjoyments of this life. During the day when you give that up, you've detached yourself from the luxuries of this life. Meaning, where are you now? You're attached to Allah Azza wa Jal. You are closer to Allah and to the reward of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Then the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said in that hadith, للصائم فرحتان فرحة عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه. And that the fasting person has two moments of joy. One of them is a physical enjoyment, and that is at the time of iftar. Now that you're able to indulge in food and drink and sexual relations after having given that up an entire day, that's a moment of joy. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah, he said that the joy at breaking your fast only happens for the one who breaks his fast upon that which is halal. And the one who breaks his fast upon haram, like a cigarette or a drug or eating something haram, is deprived from the joy that happens to a fasting person at the time he breaks his fast. And the second moment of joy is a spiritual joy, and that is at the time you meet Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. There will be a joy for the believers when they meet Allah Azza wa Jal. Why? Firstly, because they're meeting Allah. They're meeting their Creator. Allahu Akbar. Imagine that moment. Everything you did in life, of worship, of fasting, of salat, hajj, every word you said, every action you did, you tried to please Allah Azza wa Jal in it. Now you're finally going to meet the one who you did all your deeds for the sake of. And secondly, this spiritual enjoyment, when we meet Allah Azza wa Jal, would be because of seeing the huge amount of reward that Allah Azza wa Jal has prepared for the person that's fasting. You know, like it's like a day of graduation. You know, the students, when they graduate, they're excited and they're happy to get their certificates and finally graduate and so on. So the believers, that's a moment of joy for them when they meet Allah Azza wa Jal, because now we cannot wait to see what Allah has prepared for us of this huge reward of fasting that we never knew about, and it's just about to be uncovered before us on the Day of Judgment. Allahu Akbar. And from this hadith we learn that fasting prepares us for the meeting with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. It prepares us for the meeting. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying that the fasting person has a moment of joy when he meets Allah. Even we learn that fasting prepares us for the meeting with Allah. Just like Allah Azza wa Jal prepared Musa alayhi salam. Before Musa met Allah on the Mount of At-Tur, He commanded him to fast 40 days and night. 40 days and 40 nights. Why? So that he can prepare himself to meet Allah Azza wa Jal on Jabal At-Tur. And he met Allah. No doubt fasting prepares us for the meeting with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Why? Because fasting cleans the heart. It's a form of repentance. It scrubs the heart. It polishes. It makes the heart crystal clear. That's what fasting does. And before you meet Allah Azza wa Jal, you must have a polished crystal heart. A baby's heart. A baby's heart you need to have. You need to come back to Allah Azza wa Jal with a heart in the same heart that He gave you when you were first born. See that innocent young heart that came out when it came out from its mother, doesn't know any transgression, doesn't know any sin, it doesn't know any heedlessness, it only knows at-tawakkul. The baby's heart only knows tawakkul ala Allah. It's only relying upon Allah Azza wa Jal, and there you go, it only has its milk, nothing else. For that's the kind of heart you need to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that can be achieved by fasting, because fasting washes the heart, it washes it, it cleanses it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the one who fasts 3 days of every month, it cleans his heart from the evil traits. Hey, imagine fasting 30 days of obligatory fasting of Ramadan. What's that going to do to the heart? Malak, you'll polish the heart, it becomes crystal clear. Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah, Father, the reward of fasting is great, and the virtue and merit of it is huge. I share with you one last hadith on this point. This is beautiful. Yani, at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a guest. He was hungry. He was a poor guest. He came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanting some food. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to his companions, who will entertain this guest of mine and feed him tonight? So one of the companions said, Ya Rasulullah, I will take him in. I'll invite him to my house and I'll feed him. So that companion rushed to his house and went to his wife and said, let's prepare our meal that was meant for us. Let's prepare it for our guest, for the guest of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this man entered the house and they turned off all the lights. And these two companions, him and his wife, they made it as though they are eating. You know, they acted out as if they were eating, and they allowed and they made this food all for the guest. They let him eat all the food and they didn't eat anything. So they went hungry for one night. No one knew about it. The next day when they woke up, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam went to that companion and he said to him and his wife, قَدْ عَجِبَ اللَّهُ مِنْ صَنِيعِكُمَا بِضَيْفِكُمَا اللَّيْلَةِ. Allahu Akbar. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to them, Allah is amazed at how both of you treated your guest last night. Allahu Akbar. They gave up their food and drink. They gave it up for the sake of their guest. And Allah loved what they did. So imagine the love Allah Azza wa Jal has for the one who leaves food and drink for the sake of Allah for 30 days, seeking Allah's pleasure. Them too, they gave up food and drink for the sake of their guest. And Allah loved what they did. Imagine now giving up eating and drinking for the sake of Allah for 30 days. Yeah, such a person, how much is he loved by Allah Azza wa Jal? Especially when he's doing it as a worship, seeking Allah's reward and being sincere in what he's doing. Allahu Akbar. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the fifth way of how we're going to prepare for this blessed month of Ramadan is to understand how to fast. We need to know how to fast. Since the main pillar of Ramadan is fasting, the obligation of Ramadan is fasting, therefore you must learn how to fast correctly. And first and foremost, let me say that you should understand firstly, what is the purpose of fasting? What's the purpose of fasting? What's the purpose of the fasting of the stomach when you avoid food and drink and sexual relations? What's the purpose of that? The purpose of that is to nurture within us a taqwa. It's to nurture within us the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal by keeping away from sins. That's the purpose of fasting, avoiding food, drink and sexual activity. That's the purpose. So if that's the purpose of fasting, we must realize that fasting is two parts, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. And concerning this matter, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he said, الصوم هو صوم الجوارح عن الآثام وصوم البطن عن الشراب والطعام. That fasting is of two types, the fasting of the stomach from food and drink, and the fasting of the limbs from sin and transgression. Salaf rahimahumullah, they said the easiest fasting, the most easiest fasting, is refraining from food and drink. The real fasting is abstaining from all forms of sin and transgression. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to us, in addition to giving up food and drink and sexual relation, he also said that we need to give up three other things. He said, مَنْ لَمْ يَدَعْ قَوْلَ الزُّورِ وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ وَالْجَهَلِ فَلَيْسَ لِلَّهِ حَاجَةٌ أَنْ يَضَعَ طَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, whoever does not give up false speech, that's number one. يعني we need to fast. This is the fasting of the tongue from false speech, swearing, telling lies, backbiting, slander, gossip, cursing, all of that. All of this is impermissible when you fast. It's permissible after that. But this is a form of fasting, especially during the day. Fasting of the tongue. وَالْعَمَلَ بِهِ. And whoever doesn't give up the evil deeds. Evil deeds would mean the deeds of the eye and what it sees of haram. So the eyes must fast. The deeds of the ear and what it hears of haram, the ears must fast. And the tongue, as we said, the hands, the feet, all of this, you must give up all the haram. So it's not only giving up food, drink, and sexual relations. You must give up the sins of the eye, of the ear, of the tongue, of the hand, of the feet. Don't walk to something haram. Don't touch something haram. Don't see something haram. Don't listen to something haram. You need to feel at-taqwa in Ramadan. At-taqwa must flow in your blood and in your veins. You need to feel it in every inch of your body. And the third thing you need to give up in Ramadan, al-jahl, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, al-jahl. Al-jahl means two things. Number one, it means ignorance. And ignorance means when you do not implement knowledge, right? So you know it's fard to pray, but you decide not to pray. That's jahl. You need to give that up in Ramadan. And jahl also is the foolish, arrogant character when you oppress others and so on. You need to give that up as well. You need to be patient during this month. If someone wants to argue with you or swear at you or insult you, don't raise your voice at them. Don't fight with anyone. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, لا يصخب. Don't fight with anyone. Don't raise your voice at anyone. Rather, if someone is insulting you or wants to fight with you or raises his voice at you, say to him, inni sa'im twice. I am fasting. I am fasting. Meaning, I'm fasting. I'm fasting, so I cannot respond back to you with insults and curse and fight you and argue with you. I cannot do that because I'm fasting. And then walk away. That way, you keep your fasting perfect, you keep it clean and you keep it pure. And if you don't give these up, if you don't give these impermissible matters up, then there's no benefit in your fasting. My brothers and sisters in Islam, alongside giving up food, drink, and sexual relation, you must give up the, as we said, the false speech, the evil words, and you must give up the sins of the limbs, and you must give up ignorance. If you know something Allah commanded in Islam that is wajib, you must do it. Otherwise, that's ignorance. And you must give up oppressing the people, raising your voice at them, and arguing with them. You must give that up alongside giving up food, drink, and sexual relations. The one who doesn't do that won't benefit from his fasting, because his fasting is not teaching him taqwa. The entire purpose of fasting was to teach you taqwa. So if you're running wild during the day and the night with your tongue and with your eyes and with your ears, you didn't benefit any taqwa. As a result, you'll lose a lot of reward. A lot of reward you'll lose. You see, fasting is like the prayer. And what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say about the prayer? He says, إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَنْصَرِفُ وَمَا كُتِبَ لَهُ إِلَّا عُشْرُ صَلَاتِهِ تُسْعُهَا ثُمْنُهَا سُبْعُهَا سُدْسُهَا خُمْسُهَا رُبْعُهَا ثُلْثُهَا نِصْفُهَا. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he says that after a person leaves his salat, he might have earned a tenth of the reward. Look, the prayer, he earned a tenth of the reward. Or maybe earned a ninth of the reward, or an eighth, or a seventh, or a sixth of the reward, or a fifth, or a fourth, or a third, or a half. Now, it depends on the khushu'ah. The more khushu'ah you have, the more reward you gain from a salat. The less khushu'ah you have, the less reward you get. Fasting is exactly the same. The more khushu' you have in your fasting, the more you give up the haram, the bigger your reward is in fasting. It's exactly like this. It's exactly the same as a salat. You need to be careful of this. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, رُبَّ صَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِهِ إِلَّا الْجُوعِ وَرُبَّ قَائِمٍ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِهِ إِلَّا السَّهَرِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, there are people who fast And they get nothing from their fasting except hunger and thirst. No reward or anything, just thirst. That's all they got out of his fasting. And there are people who pray and get nothing from their prayer but sleepiness and tiredness. Yani, no reward. You only got hunger. You went a day hungry, thirsty, and sleepless and tired, and you got no reward. Allahu Akbar. Be very careful. When you fast, fast correctly. The fasting of the limbs is extremely important, because when you give up food and drink and sexual relations, that is training you to keep away from al-haram, to keep away from the sins of the eye and the ear and the tongue and the hands and so on. Allahu Akbar. Tayyib, my brothers and sisters in Islam, people, yani you see, the thing is that they just focus on avoiding food, drink and sexual relations. That's wrong. Don't only focus on that. Focus on at-taqwa, the fasting of the limbs, inshallah, so you can earn the greatest and the maximum reward of Ramadan. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the sixth way in how we prepare for Ramadan is by realizing that Ramadan is only a few days. We need to remind ourselves that Ramadan is only a few days. Allah Azza wa Jalla in the Quran, He says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, a few days, a few days. Then He said to us, شهر رمضان, and these few days, in total, they make a month. And there's psychology in this. A few days. The word أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, when Allah described Ramadan, He said, a few days. What does that imply? Psychologically, it creates a sense of urgency and panic within us. Keep telling yourself, a few days, just a few days, just a few days. Don't waste them. They'll quickly go. A few days. Yani, it's simple. It's easy to fast. We start, all of a sudden, it's the 10th day of Ramadan. All of a sudden, we're in the last 10 nights of Ramadan. All of a sudden, it's Al-Eid. So quick. So don't be lazy. Ayyaman ma'dudat. If you keep reminding yourself that Ramadan is a few days, then you should not be lazy. Push yourself. The doors of the paradise are open. Allah is freeing people from the hellfire every day and every night. There are 60 opportunities to be freed. Hurry up and push yourself. A few days and the sale is all over, the offer is all over for Ramadan. Spend the nights with the Quran, Salat, Dhikr, Ad-Dua, give charity, read the Quran, avoid the haram during the day, during the night, ask Allah, call unto Allah, istighfar, do what you can, push yourself, push it to the limit. This is a few days. And then after Ramadan, you can rest a little bit. But in Ramadan, don't be lazy. We cannot afford to be heedless and neglect the golden opportunities in this month and the gifts that Allah Azza wa Jalla is giving and handing out every single moment of this day and every single moment of this month. Show Allah Azza wa Jalla that you really appreciate that He gave your life to live and experience yet another Ramadan. Show Allah appreciation. Show Him that you really appreciate. Oh Allah, thank you Allah that you allowed me to live Ramadan. Ya Allah, show us, where's your thanks? Where's your gratitude? Show us. How do you thank Allah for the opportunity of Ramadan? Sit down lazy on your couch with the phone in your hand all day and all night, flicking through videos, listening to music, going from reel to reel to reel, and watching whatever it is. Heck, this is how you appreciate the ni'mah of Allah Azza wa Jal, that He allow you to live, to experience yet another Ramadan. This is how you're going to appreciate the ni'mah. This is how you're going to thank Allah for the doors of the paradise being open and the doors of the hellfire being closed and the devils being chained. You're going to say, Alhamdulillah, Allah, you did this. Now there's time for my phone now. There's time for social media now. There's time to follow people and watch al-haram and listen to al-haram and just flick from one screen to another, and in halfway in between listen to an ayah and then move on to another girl dancing, and then this is an embarrassment. This is an embarrassment. Shut down your social media, all of it, except for what's beneficial. Except for what's beneficial. Stay connected with what's beneficial. Stay connected in social media with what is going to keep you motivated and inspired to worship Allah Azza wa Jal during this month. That's it. Otherwise, throw it out. Throw it out. It's not worth it. Wallahi, my brothers and sisters. Wallahi wa aqsimu billah. It's not worth it. It is not worth it. How many people have jumped on this bandwagon of social media? How many people have been destroyed by this social media? Every 2-3 days, we find Muslim women becoming influencers. We're finding people that they're just on there for the money and just on there to show themselves and how they look and how they appear to the world. What is this? It's become a culture. It's become a trend. Yani, subhanallah, young, beautiful Muslim female sisters jumping on this rubbish taken by society and by the norms of society and by the pressure of society. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The same Muslim sister, before being an influencer on social media, on Instagram, before that, she doesn't wear a hijab. She says, wallah, it's difficult to wear the hijab. I don't find the energy. When she becomes an influencer for a company that is marketing al-hijab and so on, mashallah, all of a sudden she wears al-hijab now. All of a sudden she's wearing hijab and she's promoting this flawed, destroyed, ruined idea of what modesty is and what hijab is. Subhanallah, we thought before you came into social media, al-hijab was difficult. But now, because it makes you famous, it brings you likes, it makes the world look at you, it gives you some attention in the world, it makes you money. All of a sudden now al-hijab becomes easy to wear. Subhanallah. My brothers and sisters in Islam, be careful. Be careful. I'm not here to attack anyone. If that's your case and that's you, fear Allah Azza wa Jal and realize that you have an opportunity before you now. The blessed month of Ramadan, you have a golden opportunity before you. And what has happened of the past? No good, no problems. As long as you're still alive and your soul is still inside of you, alhamdulillah. Give it all up for the sake of Allah. With one click of a button, delete the entire account, delete this entire understanding from your entire system and entire life. Turn to Allah Azza wa Jal. Oh Allah, I have wronged myself in the years that passed. Oh Allah, I'm at your doorstep now, begging for your mercy, begging for your forgiveness. Oh Allah, forgive my sins, forgive my shortcomings. Oh Allah, open the doors of your mercy and paradise for me. Uqsimu billah. The woman who does that, the man who does that, wallahi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will open the door for them. Wallahi, Allah azza wa jal would open the door for them. And he'll make the worship easy for them. And he'll give them a sweetness of this worship they have never experienced ever in their life. We're speaking about Allah, the most merciful. He's the one that will judge you on the day of judgment. Run to his mercy now, before it's too late. I can only advise, I can only warn. I'm not going to follow every influencer, and hit on every influencer and hit on every single person that's understood the concept of modesty and hijab wrong and come and shame them and expose them here. I don't want to do that. I don't do that. And it's not from a Muslim to do that at all. At all. It's not from our character to do that. But we must remind. We have to remind. Because Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَذَكِّرْ فَإِنَّ الذِّكْرَ تَنْفَعُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. For you, my dear sister, that have fallen into a disease like this, you must recognize and realize you're in a disease. You're in a sickness. You're in a sin. Don't let anyone else fool you and tell you, oh, you're so beautiful. You look really, really beautiful with this hijab and with this makeup and with these clothes and this with this modesty. La, 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 this is all rubbish. None of this is modesty. None of it is modesty. Al-hijab has a perfect meaning. Modesty has a meaning in Islam. So give all this up now in Ramadan. Give it all up and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I am just reminding. And we ask Allah azza wa jal for these sisters al-hidayah. We ask Allah azza wa jal to guide them. And this, alongside my words, the advice is for the men as well, that have also chosen to go and wear tights and shorts above their knees and go and flaunt their beauty in society as well and become influencers as well for major companies and wearing brands and making money and so on. The talk is also for them as well. For you people, my brothers and sisters, both of you, give all this up. Throw it all out. Throw it all out. Wallahi, this disease only began when you had social media. When you didn't have an account, none of this happened. When you had an account, and you keep flicking through these reels and through these videos and stories and looking at people and Bit by bit, Shaitan pushed you into this entire industry and you became a so-called influencer, mashallah, for the world. For my brothers and sisters in Islam, we're not here to insult anyone, to mock anyone. We are all sick. We're all weak. We are all in need of Allah's forgiveness. We're all in need of repentance. We are all in need of Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy. We need it. And the opportunity is there before us. So we're encouraging each other. Don't understand my message wrong. We are encouraging each other to run to the mercy and to the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters in Islam, the way we're going to prepare for this month, this is the seventh way, is we're going to enter thinking good of Allah Azza wa Jal. حُسْنُ الظَّنِّ بِاللَّهِ. Think good of Allah Azza wa Jal as you enter this month. Don't enter with a negative, bad thought and attitude of Allah that He won't forgive me and He won't bestow His mercy upon me. Enter this month with humility, with humbleness, with a heart filled with the love of Allah and the certainty that Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you and free you from the hellfire. قال الله أنا عند ظن عبدي بي. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, I am to my slave as He thinks of me. In other words, Allah Azza wa Jal is able to treat you in the same manner you think He's going to deal with you. If you think Allah will bestow His mercy upon you, and that's your thought in Allah, Allah will do that. Allahu Akbar. Think good of Allah as we enter this month. Think good that He will forgive you. Be certain and hope from Allah Azza wa Jal that you will come out of Ramadan as a newborn. Have high hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. Wallahi, it is not impossible for Allah Azza wa Jal to grant you what you want. The magicians of Fir'aun, when they saw the truth, Allah forgave all their mischief, all their sins, all their transgression, all their kufr and shirk. With one sajda they made, what kind of forgiveness will Allah Azza wa Jal grant those who worship Him for 30 days, hoping for His mercy and for His forgiveness? Don't allow the shaitan to tell you otherwise, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Ramadan itself is a tawbah. Fasting in and of itself is a tawbah. Just be alive and bring this intention in your heart. You know, it's a tawbah. Adam alayhi salam, when he ate from the tree, we ended up on earth. We only ended up on earth because of food. So now to repent from this sin, we need to give up the food. So Ramadan is given to us as a means of tawbah, in where we give up the food and the drink, remembering that it is food that got us onto this worldly life. So fasting is a tawbah in and of itself. And finally, my brothers and sisters in Islam, and forgive me for taking too long and too much of your time, but I end with this last way to prepare for this blessed month. And there are many ways, but what I can share with you now is to learn the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during fasting. The sunnah, what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do of sunnah, voluntary acts during this month? So the beautiful sunnah of moon sighting. This is the first sunnah we need to observe. The moon sighting. Wait tonight until there are reports of a confirmed moon sighting. If there is any reports of a confirmed moon sighting, whether locally or regionally or globally, so long as there's a verified source that brings us the news of the moon being sighted, then go ahead and fast bi-idhnillah. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Sumu li ru'yatihi wa aftiru li ru'yatihi." Fast based on the sighting of the moon, and break your fast based on the sighting of the moon. And what is meant in this hadith is any sighting of the moon, whether it's local, regional in your area, or whether it's global. And why do we say so? Even though there are other opinions that exist and mention that the sighting should be local or regional, doesn't matter. But what proves this opinion that I'm mentioning to you, what makes it strong, is that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before he passed away, the entire Arab peninsula had embraced Islam. In Mecca, Al-Madina, Yemen, and on the sides and the left and the right, all of that entire Arabian peninsula had accepted Islam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, knowing that Ramadan is a serious and a big event of the year and it comes every year, he didn't tell anyone that you need to fast based on the local sighting or based on a regional sighting. And since this is an important, serious matter, we would have expected that he clarify. However, since he said nothing, and he left it at sumu li ru'yatihi, fast at the sighting of the moon, then that means any confirmed sighting, bismillah, it is correct to start your fast. And don't cause issues and problems in your community. Keep far away from al-fitan. You for yourself, if your community is fasting local, if your community is fasting local, and you happen to reach, or news reaches you that the moon has been sighted globally, then fast secretly, without anyone knowing. That's if you follow that opinion of global moon sighting. Fast secretly. And those who are fasting according to local moon sighting, they will fast, alhamdulillah. No one argues with each other, and no one causes friction and tension between each other. Walhamdulillah. If you want to fast according to the sighting of the moon, and late at night you receive a confirmed global sighting, and you want to fast, bismillah, intend and fast. If your community is fasting local, and they did not see the moon tonight, and so they're fasting a day after, don't inform them, don't say anything, don't run around and say, wallah, we saw the moon and it was confirmed and guaranteed and we should fast. Don't cause this fitna and this trouble, my brothers and sisters in Islam. Fast secretly and let others fast. And let others fast locally. Alhamdulillah, yani we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to accept our worship. So that's one sunnah. Another sunnah, suhoor wal iftar. Inshallah ta'ala, during Ramadan, I will share with you the sunnah of suhoor. When it's supposed to be done, how it's done, what's the best suhoor to have, the dua alongside with that, if there is any, what are we supposed to say at the time? Al-Iftar, what is the sunnah of Iftar? Learn all of these things. At-Taraweeh behind the Imam. When you pray Taraweeh behind the Imam, and then you leave after the Imam leaves, then you will get and gain the reward as though you prayed the entire night. Allahu Akbar. Charity, which is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Ramadan. Reading the Quran, very important. Remembering the poor and the orphans and the needy in Ramadan, very important. That's one of the main objectives of Ramadan. That as you starve during the day, you're supposed to remember the less fortunate and the poor and the needy. And that should break your heart and motivate you and inspire you to feed them every single day. Every single day, feed them. And the sadaqah in Ramadan is very, very, very rewarding, because most likely that sadaqah would end up in the hands of a poor who most likely will break his fast upon it. And if he does so, then you earn the reward of that fasting person. So it's as though you fasted 2 days in one day. That's if you broke the fast of one person. If you break the fast of 300 people, you earn the reward of fasting 300 days. Allahu Akbar. This is a great sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam during Ramadan. And when you fast, it inspires you and motivates you even more to give sadaqah to the needy and the poor and to feed them. Wallahu a'lam, jazakum Allahu khayra. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to reach Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the ability and the strength and the energy that we worship Him. اللهم أعنا على الصيام في رمضان وأعنا على القيام في رمضان اللهم أعنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to forgive our sins, to forgive our shortcomings. We ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us Ramadan, to deliver us to Ramadan safely, and to accept all our deeds that we do in Ramadan, and to give us the ability and the strength that we worship Him during Ramadan. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to free our necks from the fire and the necks of our parents and our generations and our forefathers. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide our children and to free them from the fire. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He does not deprive us of the good in this life and the good in the afterlife. And we ask Him subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grant us that we see Him on the Day of Judgment, because the fasting person, as we said, has two joys. And one of the joys is when he sees Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah azza wa jal that He does not deprive us of this gift, of this blessing. إِنَّهُ وَلِيُّ ذَلِكَ وَالْقَادِرُ عَلَيْهِ وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمَ وَبَارَكَ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ.